Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is October 2019. The last few weeks of September have been extraordinarily hot with virtually no rain. My vegetable garden is dusty and dry. I ordinarily would plant or try to plant some fall vegetables like spinach or lettuce, but it has been way too dry. A few weeks ago, I noticed on social media that the Bicentennial Mall State Park was promoting an upcoming program to be presented October 18 and 19. This program is called Tennessee Timeline, DeSoto to Desert Storm. Park Ranger Jessica Gossett is coordinating this event. Jessica was kind enough to visit with me for a short interview yesterday, and we talk about just a few of the interesting presentations that will be available for the public to enjoy. It turns out that this upcoming program will be a showcase presenting talented people representing important historical or cultural areas which are part of our state park system. Many of our parks uniquely represent events of our history from prehistoric to modern day. It is remarkable, of course, that the state of Tennessee has cultivated and permitted to bloom the talent of the people who work at these various parks across the state. The state should be proud that our parks agency, as an institution, is always striving for continual improvement. And Ranger Gossett has her own inspiring personal story. Clearly, she has leadership in her bones. And so I hope you will enjoy this interview with Jessica Gossett from the Tennessee State Parks. Jessica Gossett, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Jessica, it's great to have you out here visiting with me. I want to introduce you to my audience, and you're a person that I'm just getting to know. So I'll be learning a little bit about you as my audience does as well. You're a Tennessee Park Ranger.
Yes, sir.
Assigned to Bicentennial Mall State Park.
Yes,
here,
sir.
In Nashville. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of a new ranger.
I'm very new.
Well, tell us about yourself. Where are you from, Jessica?
I am originally from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what inspired you? What life circumstance or lack thereof, I guess, inspired you to become a park ranger?
I would say my parents did. So when I was a child, what my parents would do was take my brother and I to Hot Springs National Park, and we would go hike.
Okay.
We never went camping, but we would go hike and talk about the history. We would go and explore and see what kind of trees, and my parents would actually go and read up on what was around.
Okay.
And then tell us, or what we say now, interpret the landscape to my brother and I. We also went, or rather spent a lot of time at T.O. Fuller State Park. My church, St. John Baptist Church, had a lot of picnics there, annual picnics. So as I got older and got into anthropology, I started focusing more on stewardship, the concept of stewardship. And I knew that I wanted to help educate people, but also wanted more a different active kind of role, which
okay.
was the protection side.
Okay.
And so I went to Pinson Mounds one day, and a light.
Okay. Now you're in elementary school. You're in high school. When is it that you visited Pinson Mounds?
So I went to Pinson Mounds while I was at UT. Specifically, I was in a archaeological summer program
okay.
at the University of Memphis.
Okay.
So we went there as part of our field trip before we actually started our digs at Ames Plantation. And then I went back a couple of years ago and just was like, oh.
That Pinson Mounds is an amazing place.
It is.
Which for our listeners is a Tennessee State Park, but it is a world-class archaeological area with woodland period mounds, giant mounds. I mean, they're
yes.
hundreds of feet tall.
Yes.
So now you went there as part of your schooling. So tell us, you got your degree.
I got my degree at the University of Tennessee in 2011 in cultural anthropology.
Okay.
Initially archaeology, but I realized I like the cultural side better.
Okay. So had you gone to the University of Memphis for a period of time?
Yes, I went for that, just that summer program.
I see.
For things to do.
I see. Yeah. I see. Well, terrific. You know, many of the people that I speak with that get involved in this field have an experience with scouts or something like that. Did you ever do anything like that?
I briefly did Girl Scouts.
Right.
So yes, and that was part of the impetus too. I actually am having the opportunity to work a little bit more with Girl Scouts.
Okay.
Got to work a little bit with a Girl Scout troop this past Friday for an astronomy program. So a little bit, yes.
So your degree is in anthropology, so you have a pretty strong science background.
Yes. Okay. And I got an opportunity to do an ethnography while I was actually at UT on one of those other summer projects.
Right.
So I am more on the interview, observation, and participation side of that science.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So we were talking before we got started on the air here about my interview last year with Sharon Bracey, who was one of the very first women park rangers in Tennessee, and talking about the barriers involved with a woman taking on a job like that. Since that time, we have many women park rangers. Now you're breaking through another barrier, being a black woman park ranger.
Yes.
You know, I think that state parks would have hired many young black women as park rangers had there been people interested in being park rangers.
Yes.
So tell us about that experience.
Okay. So what happened is my father made a soft suggestion saying, "Hey, I think you would like to be a park ranger one day." And I just threw it off because I was more interested in working with nonprofits.
Okay.
But then I got a chance to like look into it and study, and then I took that trip back to Pinson Mounds and I realized that I wanted to be a park ranger. So that's where that came from. I also got to spend some time with the park rangers at T.O. Fuller State Park as a seasonal and got to learn a little bit more about their experiences as black park rangers.
Right. Now, T.O. Fuller is a fun little park, which is in South Memphis.
Yes, it is.
And it was one of the parks that was officially designated a park for African Americans, or black park, when it was established. Am I correct about that?
Yes, it was the first park east of the Mississippi dedicated to or open to African Americans.
Right, and that park had a WPA CCC component to it.
It sure did.
I guess they had a black unit of the Civilian Conservation Corps worked that park and helped create that park.
Yes.
And so you hired on there as a seasonal.
I did.
And just one season or a couple seasons?
I got to do one very long season.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, good. Well, you know, and a tip for young folks who may be listening who are interested in getting into parks, that is how you get involved in parks, is by getting yourself hired on as a seasonal. Because parks tends to hire people that they know. And how they get to know them is through their seasonal participation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you're assigned to the Bicentennial Mall State Park here in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that park.
Okay. So I really love my park.
All right.
And the reason why I love my park is because it showcases and honors the state of Tennessee. So that includes the people as well as the land. So even the shape of the park is a parallelogram, which roughly looks like the state of Tennessee.
Just hadn't thought of that.
Like that. It's just cool to me.
Right.
On the east side of the park, which is actually my favorite side of the park, is the Walk of Counties. There are 95 time capsules for each county that were installed when the park was established in 1996. On the west side of the park is the Pathway of History Wall. So I like to say that it's a long, dark wall, kind of showcasing moments of history, encouraging you to go deeper yourself. And it has big bookmarks that mark off the decades, significant decades for the history of the state, and it ends at 1996.
Okay, so it goes from 1796 to 1996.
That's where the decades start. Okay. It starts also, but it actually, the bookmarks, as I like okay. to call, start at the beginning of time.
Oh, okay. Okay, I yes. got you. So they reach back.
Yes, all right, yes, sir, all right. They do.
Okay. So the park also has some fun features. At the front of the park, which is right next to the state capitol, across the street from the capitol, is the area dedicated to the waters and the rivers of Tennessee.
Yes, sir. That is the river wall and the fountains. So there are 31 fountains, and underneath each fountain is the name of that river or major watershed that okay. the fountains are dedicated to, along with quotes and little tidbits from stories about the rivers of Tennessee and the influence that the yeah. rivers have had.
That fountain gets a lot of use, doesn't it? Because it's designed to be a play area, and children can get wet and that sort of thing.
It does. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. My partners and I, when we can, we actually go and play with the children in the fountains. I actually got a beach ball that I need to blow back up, and we'll play a couple of games with the children.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Those fountains are kind of a maintenance headache, though, aren't they?
Sometimes. It's really more the feedback from the public. So when we have to turn them off to do some cleaning or okay. some maintenance, maybe a balloon went down into the drain.
I see.
So I have to like stop. Right. It's really more so, why did you turn off the fountain?
I
brought my children here.
I got it. Now, the other thing that's, I think, fun in the park, you have a planting. And as you say, the park is a parallelogram. So from one end to the other, they have natural plants that occur in Tennessee
yes.
to kind of replicate what you might see in the landscape across, as you go from east to west in Tennessee. How did I do describing that?
Yes, no, that's absolutely right. It starts.
Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. It starts at Harrison Street, Harrison and 6th Avenue.
Okay.
With West Tennessee and the bald cypress trees.
Okay.
My favorite part of Tennessee.
Okay.
And then it progresses from that flat planter all the way to a small mountain representing the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains.
Right. You might see some azalea bushes and hemlock trees and that sort of thing.
Yes,
there.
Sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Lots of cedars. We have pines. We have a couple of big leaf magnolia trees.
Well, it's a fun park to visit, and it's a unique place because, you know, when that park was envisioned, the governor at the time also had the vision that the State Museum would be down on that mall, and so would the Library and Archives be down on that mall. And that's happening.
It is.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah. So last year they opened up the State Museum.
Yes, sir.
And that certainly gave y'all some opportunities to do some programming together with them.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that a little bit.
One of the projects in progress would be the celebration of the centennial of the 19th Amendment coming up next year.
Oh, yeah.
So we are working with the Library of Archives, Museum,
okay.
as well as the Tennessee Women's Suffrage Centennial Committee to put that together for next year. So that's a really exciting project.
Fantastic. Well, and for the person that's coming from out of town, whether you're coming from a rural Tennessee county to come in to visit the Capitol, or whether you're coming as a visitor from out of state, having all those institutions there close is really cool.
It is.
The Library and Archives, the new building is just finishing construction. Am I right about that?
So they will be they've gotten the bulk of what they needed done, okay, completed, okay, and what they will do the actual opening sometime late last year, if I remember correctly from this morning's meeting.
Next year.
Yes.
Okay. So people need to be looking for that. For those that are into family history research and that sort of thing like I do, it's going to be a beautiful new facility with a lot of capabilities there.
Yes.
And of course, there's also the Nashville Farmers Market, which is right there next to the park, which makes a fun place to go and eat and that sort of thing.
Spend a lot of money at the farmers market.
Oh, do you?
They have vegan ice cream. How can I not?
Oh, exactly. All right. Well, Jessica, I got you in here because I noticed that you all are having an event coming up.
Yes.
That looked like it would be a really fun event to promote just a little bit and let people know about. Timelines, Tennessee Timelines, DeSoto to Desert Storm.
Yes, sir.
And that's what they're calling this
event. Sir.
Okay. So tell us about it.
Okay. So the Tennessee Timeline is actually an old event with a new name.
Okay.
It was started in 2003. And it was called the Tennessee History Festival, and it ran like that for so long until about last year.
Okay.
When park manager Jerry Wooten decided to call it the Tennessee Timeline and rebrand it and get some more momentum behind this annual event.
Okay.
So it is one of the longest running cultural programs we have, not just at the park, but also across the system as well, continuously running.
Okay.
This year, and actually for the past couple of years too, is our new neighbors, the Tennessee State Museum and the Tennessee State Library and Archives, are actually going to be heavily partnering with us with this event. Now, the thing that's special about this history event is they're not just going to be a couple of people talking with tables kind of dry. We're actually going to be living history interpreters or historians. And so what that means is, as best as we can and as close as possible, we wear the period clothing appropriate to whatever topic they were discussing, as well as having pictures, whatever primary sources we can have, and we do first or third person impressions of that era or that person.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun.
Okay. So and the park we've already talked about has a timeline feature, and so these persons that are going to be doing this in these interpretations will be along that timeline. So tell us about, give us some examples of what we might see.
So one of our popular interpreters, he always can be relied upon to come back, is Dan Peterson. And what Dan Peterson does is he does the Hernando de Soto impressions.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're always a lot of fun. Now, I will say.
So he's speaking in Spanish?
No. He does a little bit of that, but okay. He does mostly that third person persona where he's telling people about the history of, with a mix of that first person impression.
So what would he talk about?
So he will talk about DeSoto's explorations into the state of Tennessee and the influence that DeSoto has had on the state of Tennessee specifically, or more closely on my side of the state would be West Tennessee, as well as he will have armor on.
Oh my goodness.
From the pictures I've seen. So I haven't had a chance to actually attend this event before.
All right.
So he will actually have armor on and kind of regale people with some of the things that the Spaniards, the conquistadors, would have worn.
Okay.
So that's going to be, he's going to be the person that starts.
That starts the things off. Yeah. Right. All right.
DeSoto.
So moving along.
So another individual we have is Mr. Robert Rambo, and what he's going to do, he's going to portray his ancestor who participated in not just the Chickamauga War of the 1780s, but also the Creek War, and that ancestor is Abraham Knave. So that's a new interpretation or impression that we're going to have, and we're going to be excited to see that.
All right.
So next, or rather not next, but one of the other impressions we'll have is Leigh Gardner, who is a park ranger for Old Stone Fort.
Okay.
Who is also another young black woman.
Okay, right.
She is going to do the Nashville sit-ins. So I'm
Yes,
so that is an area that we want to heavily highlight or shine a light on because we haven't
really Civil rights movement in Nashville.
Yep, in Nashville.
All right.
My partner, Jedediah Hall, will also be working with her portraying the Nashville sit-ins as Paul LaPratt.
Now, how are they going to do that standing out there in the, just out there in the, in the park at the field there?
So we do set up tents.
And
we'll
also try
as much as possible to have our setups in the shade.
Okay.
So we,
all right.
we do try to. We also have lots of practice being outside.
Okay. All right.
So that is that. And now I just wanted to make sure I highlighted her and my partner, Jed. So we'll also have park manager of Dunbar Cave, David Britton, coming out. And he's actually going to be sharing the story of Tennesseans and the Tobacco Wars. So that is a new story for me, and that would be that's fascinating, and I'm going to be excited to see him.
Yeah, we had David on this program mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he talked a little bit about the tobacco wars mm-hmm. and how Port Royal State Park and the area there played a major role in those events that happened, and that was not something I knew anything about. So David is bringing a lot to the table.
Yes. Right. He's a very cool person to
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very knowledgeable person.
Yes.
We will also have at least two women park rangers portraying the suffragists, the Tennessee suffragists, and that would be Meg Guy, who is the park manager of Rome Mountain, as well as Joan Williams, who is a park ranger at Johnsonville. So that's going to be good. Got a chance to work with them a couple months ago in August for one of our initial suffragist events to kind of kick off the year-long celebration.
Fantastic. All right. Well, what more? Do we have any long hunters?
No
long hunters. Okay.
Time. I tried to reach that, but no, we don't have any long hunters.
Oh, darn.
This time.
Okay.
No. But we will have Greg Galloway bringing a Civil War ambulance, so that's going to be intriguing.
Okay. Yes. Tell me more. What is this something you've seen?
I have not seen.
Never seen it. Okay.
All right. No. But my manager Jerry Wooden talks highly of it and said it's a great experiential thing for children. And so we also are heavily marketing this to families so that if they were wanting their children to be more interested in their state's history, if they see these things or these replicas of these historical items, they'll be more intrigued and engaged in that. So that is one of those.
And now where is he coming from?
He is coming from, now that I don't remember.
Okay, if you don't remember, you don't remember. That's fine.
Yes.
All right, we'll continue. What else do we have?
Okay, so we have Josh Wagner, who is our director of interpretations. He is going to portray a Marine in World War II, and he also is a veteran. He served as a Marine, so that's good to have. We will also have Mr. Sam Reed, who is retired from Tennessee State Parks, and his wife are doing 1870s photography.
Fun.
Yep.
So now Josh had been as a park ranger at the you remind me where he had been assigned as a park ranger.
So he
Alvin
was
York.
The,
he was involved
he was
with the Alvin
manager.
York
pro- yes,
program.
Sir.
Yes.
Park manager until very recently of Alvin C. York.
Right. So he's really familiar with the World War One
sure
programs, but also he's going to do World War Two in this instance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And in the past, he has been a person that interprets either or for
okay.
us. But
okay.
this time, he's going to portray the World War Two Marine.
Fantastic. Yep. Fantastic.
We're also going to have our historian, our resident historian, Hobart Aiken, portraying, or rather talking about the everyday life of a soldier in Fort Loudoun. So Fort Loudoun was the British or the colonial era fort that was built to garner support from the Cherokee people in the 1750s. So he's going to go more into depth on that.
Okay.
Let's see. We also have my partners. So Donald Finn, who's also a vet, is going to talk about Tennesseans in the Korean War. And my other partner, Michael Bunting, is going to portray a World War I soldier.
Okay. So that is really a lot to take in.
Yes. Yes. We are aiming to have about 50 interpreters. We may have more. We may have a little less.
Okay. Well, what you've described here today is just kind of a sampling of those. Okay. It's, an exhaustive list.
No, but I do have that exhaustive list if you need it.
Well, I will tell you, for people that are listening in, we're talking about a program that's going to be happening at the Bicentennial Mall State Park, October 18 and 19. And if you get on the website of Tennessee State Parks, actually, if you just do a Google search for Bicentennial Mall State Park, that site will come right up, and it has upcoming events as one of the tabs. And if you tab it down, you'll get a lot of information about this program. So it's family friendly.
It's family friendly. It's also free, and it's going to take place on October 18th and 19th, right, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So it's a Saturday and a Sunday, or is it a Friday?
Friday and Saturday.
Okay. And now tell us about parking for this event.
Okay, so for this particular event, we will have available the state staff parking lots. We have several that are adjacent to the park, as well as some that are just a short walking distance away. So people who are attending this event, either as interpreters or as visitors, will have an opportunity to park.
To park there.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, 7th Avenue will be closed. It's usually where people like to park because it's next to the farmer's market, but we will have 7th Avenue closed so people can walk down and actually enjoy the range of the street.
Okay. All right. So it's a little easier than it might be otherwise to visit. It's sometimes a difficult place to visit just because of the parking situation.
Yes, sir.
And so for this event, you've made special arrangements for parking.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, Jessica, you've been a dream to talk to. I've enjoyed it very, very much. I do encourage folks to get out to this event. I wanted to ask you one follow-up question to what we talked about at the beginning. You were just telling me about you were just going through your firearms training and qualification.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
It was a lot of fun. So we had to get the qualifying round out the way. And so we've shot 50 rounds, starting at the 5 and backing up. And then we actually practiced some night shooting. So we practiced with actually holding the flashlight and our firearm and shooting in a variety of different ways, and then also trying it out with a mounted light.
So Jessica, as a young woman studying archaeology and anthropology, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you'd be a commissioned law enforcement officer?
No.
Toting a gun around all the time?
No.
And you do okay?
I do okay.
All right. Are you comfortable with it now?
I am very comfortable with
it. All right. Well, you know, for the folks that are listening and don't know about the training that park rangers go through, you guys go through the police academy like every other law enforcement officer.
Yes, sir.
So, and I guess the firearms training comes with that.
Yes, sir.
All right. And so when you do your qualification, it's an annual thing, I presume.
Yes, sir.
Where do you do that?
So we do it at a variety of different parks. My park manager and one of my partners, Wayne Scott, got to actually qualify at Henry Horton last night, but it's also at Montgomery Bay.
Right. They have firing ranges at these facilities, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
Henry Horton has a skeet and trap shooting range,
yes,
which is open to the public, and I guess you can shoot there as well.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
All right. Well, congratulations to you on choosing state parks as a career. And the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And folks, do get out to this event coming up in October at the Bicentennial Mall State Park.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.